Hello and welcome to the commentary episode for Buffy Between the Lines, Episode 9. We're coming to you from the fabulous world headquarters of Between the Lines Studios in the plush recording room. No, I'm kidding. We're all in our basements.
What's a basement?
Hey, I'm in the dorm room.
Outstanding. Hey, this is Kevin Cummings. I'm a cast member and occasional contributor to Buffy Between the Lines. With me tonight, we have Tabs, who is queen of all she surveys and also the leader of our merry little band. We'll get to her in just a minute. Also with me, we have Leanna, who played a significant role in the last episode, Larissa, who got to play a zombie, and we have Rachel, who is director, and Janice. So, good evening. Tabs, how you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good.
Doing pretty well? Terrific. Leanna, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, too.
Okay. Larissa?
Just shiny.
Just shiny. Excellent. That's a wonderful answer. Rachel?
I'm doing good.
All right, Tabs, let's start with the big news. Word on the street has it that BBTL won an award.
Yes, it did. Best audio drama at the Podcast Peer Awards. So we're very excited about that.
So for folks kind of outside the community, people who aren't podcasters, who are consumers of this stuff, what the heck is the Podcast Peer Awards?
I like to compare it to the Emmys. It's an award for podcasters, but it's by other fellow podcasters, so it's all of our peers, hence the Podcast Peer title. And you have to get nominated, and then you get voted on, and it's really exciting. The goal of the Podcast Peer is to recognize excellence in podcasting, no matter how many people listen, and I really like that kind of aspect of it. So it was a huge honor to be nominated, a huge honor to win. We were up against Decoder Theater, which is huge and wonderful, and Red Panda, and Firefly Old Wounds was in that group. So we were very, very excited about winning. And we love all of those other audio dramas too, so it was kind of hard to take it away from them, but here we are.
But here we are. And just to clarify, it is not a popular vote. It's not a vote where you can tell your listeners, hey, come in and vote on this, correct?
Right. It's all peers. So you have to be a podcaster to judge, basically, the nominations. And, it's a very huge thing because it's other podcasters who know all of the work that goes into it and know when you can do better and when you can do worse. And so they judge you on a different criteria than I think the listeners are. And a lot of the people that listened aren't even really big Buffy fans. They just listened to the technical and other aspects of the podcast.
Excellent. Let's talk to Leanna for a minute. Leanna, of course, you have some podcasting experience of your own. How did it feel to be associated with a production that won?
Well, I've been excited since the beginning to be part of this because I am a Buffy fan, maybe not quite as big as many others, but definitely part of that realm. And I know Tabs from podcasting before Buffy Between the Lines, and it's an interesting a world. It's so much bigger than my little dinky little podcast, and it's been a really thrilling thing. I haven't actually felt completely integrated until this episode. Of course, we're up to episode 9, so we're near the end. But once it got rolling, it's just a really exciting thing to be a part of, and it's really impressive to me that it did win for, like we were talking about, this isn't a bunch of huge fans of the Joss world and everything related that voted for this. These are people, I mean, when you think about it, the podcasters is a small amount compared to a large fan base. And so I'm really impressed that that it won, and all the work that Tabs and the others did. I only give myself a little credit because I only had one part. So they did so much more.
Larissa, how about your thoughts?
I was just thrilled to hear that we had won an award, especially hearing that various audio companies that we were competing against, because, you know, my first foray into real audio drama was listening to Firefly Old Wounds, and to be involved in a production that, you know, got voted on in the same, you know, breath as Firefly Old Wounds and to win is just mind-boggling.
So just it's sort of nothing that you'd ever perhaps expected. Rachel, now of course you're a director, so you have to own a fair part of the victory. What are your thoughts?
Oh God, I didn't even think about that when I realized that we had won the award. I just the cast is so amazing and everyone just gets everyone so well that honestly sometimes directing is just a piece of cake. I just like I sit down, I let the actors do their thing. I'm like, you guys are amazing. Maybe tweak this, but it's everyone's combined effort that makes it amazing. And like when I found out about the nomination, just the nomination, I was over the moon because I think I'm of the mind that if something is nominated for an award, that's like 9/10 of the way to a win, just to get noticed like that. And this was, I was like speechless when I found out we won. Just everybody had done so well.
Well, and to just enlighten the listeners a little bit more, of course, the BBTL took the award for audio drama, but Tabs also won the award for exceptional podcaster. So congratulations, Tabs. Any thoughts on that?
I was stunned. And if you look at the list of people I was up against, I'm really, really stunned. It was very cool to be nominated and to hear the reasons for the nomination. Kim nominated me, actually, and, you know, I just, and purely out of nothing more than she was so excited that we've been able to do all this stuff. And, but then to see all of the other podcasters agree with her, and it was a tight race, and I have to give major props to the other people in that category because they're some of the most wonderful people in podcasting in my mind. Shelley Brisbane, who is amazing, and Barely from Barely Podcasting, and just a terrific bunch of people. And I was blown away when the final count came through. So,
and of course the awards are going to be made at Dragon Con, and we should point out that there'll be a BBTL event there.
Yes, we're going to do a live show at Dragon Con. So if you are not yet tempted to come with promises of Jewel State and James Marsters, then
I'm sorry, Jewel State's going to be there. I got to go make a plane reservation.
Yes, Jewel State will be there
for my 17-year-old
and James Marsters. So come. It's Saturday afternoon, so hopefully it won't be against any of the big people, but it'll be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of Buffy Between the Lines people there.
Excellent. Now, of course, one of the things that I think you were recognized for was your organizational ability, because we're dealing here with a truly international production, and you've got a timeline, and you've got writers working. You're treating it like a TV production where things are going on, you know, sort of constantly, and you're taking that executive producer role. But as I say, things are spread all over the world, so I want to go back to Rachel for a minute. You talked a little bit about directing Rachel, but what's it like for a director when you're working with actors in different time zones and in some cases different countries? What's a session like when you're directing?
Just getting the session to happen can actually be quite difficult because, and it's, there's people who are all over the world. And I think the trickiest one is getting Nick, him, because Nick is in England, of course. And, you know, it's tricky when you're dealing just with people in the U.S. Sometimes, you know, you have to be up really late at night to get someone who's on the West Coast. And I'm in New York, or I'm in Massachusetts, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Where I am.
It's so confusing that she doesn't even know where she is.
Hey, I'm all over the Northeast.
What's the Cory Doctorow book, Eastern Standard Tribe,
yes,
where your time is by who you hang out with, not where you live?
Yes.
So, Rachel, you get everybody together. You manage this sort of, you know, incredible task of getting everybody lined up. And of course, Nick is Spike, and he's over in London, and so you get everybody there. So then what?
Well, first you hope everyone's read the script. And pretty much, at least what my style is we've done this so much that for the most part, I kind of trust everyone to at least have a really good concept of what should be going on. And I just kind of let people do a first read through, and then I take what I have envision from the scene, and I just kind of tweak where I think it needs to be tweaked. and everyone usually agrees with me. Sometimes they don't.
Wait, we were supposed to read the script?
Oh, that would have made it so much better.
Crap.
Hey, Tap.
So, now you referenced earlier that you kind of, you know, you're sort of impressed. You talked about how easy it is. So you're kind of that directing school. That was perfect. Now let's do it again differently.
No, I am not someone who will say this is perfect off the first time. It's like, this is good. Let's make it better. Because I don't think there's anything that can't be improved with a little bit of work. I don't think anyone's going to get it completely right on the first try. Because then, you know, they're probably a demon. You'll have to cut their head off. I really don't want to lose any of our actors. They're great.
And as we said, they're somewhere else. Now, did you have any directing experience or production experience before you came to BTO?
I have done a lot of acting workshops in my time. I've been acting since I was a kid, and so I've dealt a lot with acting coaches and acting teachers, including college acting teachers, and I workshopped with the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts once. So,
wow.
Yeah. It was on a cruise ship, but yeah.
That's excellent. Now, are you doing any stage work now?
Not currently. Most of my time is devoted to this and another audio drama. But I'm actually working on a self-design minor in film production, in which acting and I'm actually taking a course in directing next semester. So.
Oh, splendid. Splendid. Yeah. Well, let's step away from the director role for a minute and let's talk to a couple of folks here who have played roles. I want to start with Leanna. Leanna, tell us a little bit about your role in episode 9.
Well, I played the Dubuque, which is the demon, which the Dubuque is not necessarily an evil demon. It's kind of funny that when I finally learned exactly what I was playing, I just happened to have a book on vampires and was thumbing through it and landed right on that. Interesting character that has, you know, even though Buffy and Angel and such definitely show that demons are not all evil, it still leans towards that. I mean, that's the whole basis on a lot of the fights and what we're fighting for. And the Dubuque is a really a sad character because she's been hurt and her trust has been taken away also. And so all she's got is her revenge.
So do you have like a long personal history of revenge you could draw on for that? Or did you, what did you do to get into that role?
Sadly, I'm not much of a revenge person. So,
it was all acting.
I don't know if I'd call it acting, but yeah, it was an effort.
It was acting. You did awesome.
Oh, thank you. I apologize, Tavs, that you had to deal with that. That impressed me. Actually, I was terrified for two reasons. One, the accent. Of all the people to ask to do an accent, I was the last person to ask. And thank God, days before, I'd been running around going, I like the word vodka, vodka, vodka. And so I ran with it and actually had a blast attempting to do a Russian accent. And then to find out that Tavs had to try to match herself with me, I can only imagine what kind of nightmare. So that was my biggest entertainment.
So sort of once you got past the fear, it was a fun role for you then.
I do that a lot. I can say I'm a nightmare to edit. I know I am an absolute nightmare to edit, and I hate that I have to send what I do unedited because I'm a tongue twisting everything. I'll stumble over it all, and then trying to do an accent on top of that, and a word comes out all bizarre or I've lost breath trying to say a line or something like that. And so, but you get into it. You do really get into it. And then you make yourself laugh so much that it just becomes a huge entertainment.
All right. Let's talk to one of your I don't know if directly your victims, but one of the victims in the piece. Larissa, you got to play someone who'd been zombified.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this wasn't your fun Caribbean zombie with dances and straw hats.
No, sadly, no. No.
So what was that like for you?
It was interesting. it was kind of a last minute thing that I think Tabs, you asked me, you know, if I could do this line because roles were being shifted around during the season, and you know, I jumped at the chance because I hadn't had an episode in a while, and it was interesting to do, you know, to do that little part there. I'm glad I didn't really have to act as a zombie. That, you know, my only line was, you know, after, you know, the character, you know, comes back to life, so to speak, because that would have added a whole different layer and, you know, texture to my acting experience. Although it wouldn't have been too far off being the zombie, it wouldn't have been too far off from, you know, possibly my fate from the character I played in episode 2, but, you know.
And who was that in episode 2?
I was the first victim of the demon that that Dr. Teufelsberg
summoned.
Yes. Thank you, Tabs.
The giant goose burning.
Yes.
So on, introduce the character, kill the character, on to the next scene sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes,
excellent.
And you can get extra points if you can name all the characters that Larissa has been in Buffy Between the Lines, because she's got like 4 or 5 of them.
Oh, splendid. Most of whom are deceased, is that what I'm hearing?
No. I think it's an even, yeah. Even
oh, good.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay. Let me, sort of on that point, and talking about playing all the different roles, let me just shift a little bit and ask everybody, and we'll start with Tabs, but, you know, there's a pretty good legacy to live up to here. You know, the Joss Whedon legacy is nothing to be sneezed at. You know, how do you feel that you've done personally and that the ensemble has done in living up to those expectations?
That's a question. Personally, you know, I never had the thought that we were going to be Joss. You know, I never thought we could be as wonderful as the original characters and crew and cast, and obviously we're in a different medium, so that's a whole nother layer of you can't see these people and you can't see the special effects and costumes and but the fans seem to think that we are, which makes me very, very happy. And you know, we constantly get comments about how this is just like having the TV show back, other than it's not a TV show. But, you know, this is Joss. It feels like the writers. It feels like Joss. It feels like a Joss show, especially when Candace died. That's when we got most of the feedback that, you know, a lot of feedback about how much this felt like a Joss show now that we killed somebody off. So, yeah, I mean, I know I'm not Emma Caulfield when I play Anya, and I recognize that I don't have her sound, but for me, it feels, these characters now feel like when I hear Nick and when I hear Kim and Tasha and Chris and Kliss and all of these people play their roles, they feel like the characters to me. And to the point where sometimes now when I watch the TV show, I'm like, that's not Spike. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, it is. It's the real one. Because I've been so immersed in Buffy Between the Lines. And I think the highest compliment I've gotten as far as email-wise is a fan emailed me and said, you know, you guys really have ruined my life. And he was kidding. But he's like, now I'm going to be saying to a Buffy fan, remember when Xander turned into a woman? And people are going to go, what? Because it feels like it's part of the canon. It feels like it's really part of the story. So I'm going to be so confused. And I think that was the highest compliment that we could have ever gotten.
Excellent. Rachel.
I was just going to agree. I got into an argument about Willow's arc in season 6 the other day and ended up quoting the 7th episode. And I'm like, and she's just staring at me like, what? I'm like, yeah.
Sort of like you'd fallen through from an alternate universe.
Exactly.
Excellent. Liana, your thoughts on living up to the Whedon legacy?
Well, fortunately for me, I don't have one of the main roles. When I tried out, of course, everybody tries for the primary characters when we first did it. And at the time, the excitement of being one of those characters was there. And when I didn't get a part, it was a little disappointing. But once you start listening to it, it's scary, the idea of how much you want to live up to the vision of Joss Whedon, the characters of Joss Whedon, and then the fans who will beat the crap out of you if you don't do a good job. So, and, you know, doing a character that I did, you know, I'm lucky that I didn't have to try to be somebody who everybody is extremely familiar with. And so I really applaud everyone who's doing it. It takes a while to get used to some of the voices. Some of them are spot on, as everybody's been talking about. It's a little creepy. But the others, you know, it just takes you a while to get used to the voice. But they all have the mannerisms down and the style that each one of the characters portrayed. And, you know, I look forward to future ones with more characters and everybody. It does bring you back to the series. I don't really, like everybody else is saying, I don't really see this as a fan podcast. I kind of feel like Tabs and everyone is unemployed members of Enemy Productions. So they just do a great job.
Larissa, you've played probably more roles than any of us. What are your thoughts?
As I was listening to Leanna's response, I found a lot of stuff that was similar to, you know, my own experience is that when I auditioned for season one, I auditioned for one of the, you know, bigger canon characters. And, you know, when I didn't get a canon character, I was a little sad. But then, you know, over this season, it's been a real treat for me to be able to play all these different characters. And each one of them has had their own little personality and their own little, you know, mannerisms and things that I've been able to latch on to. And it's been fun to play all these different characters. But speaking to the larger Whedon legacy, I think it was, for me, it was more, can we be as good as Firefly Old Wounds? Because they did such a phenomenal job portraying the Firefly universe. And granted that, you know, we were doing a completely different universe with our project. I was nervous to see how this was all going to come out, being that we were all, you know, recording from different places and at different times, you know, and putting it all together and coming up with a finished product. But I think that this series really does a phenomenal job of not only paying attention to the canon, but kind of filling in parts that, you know, I had trouble with listening to or watching the series when I watched it. You know, there were questions that I had when watching season six that sort of, if not get answered, they get addressed in Buffy Between the Lines. And I was so excited, you know, to see those moments. Like, for instance, early on in the season, there's the issue coming up of, when's the next Slayer coming? Because the last time Buffy died, you know, a new Slayer came on the scene. And that didn't happen. And so the characters are wondering that. And that's what I was wondering when I watched the show. So it was nice. And it's been nice. And it's, you know, it'll be exciting to hear how Buffy Between the Lines sort of answers or ponders more questions that didn't have time to get answered in the series.
And speaking of answering more questions, and most all of you made reference to this, of course, you talked about auditioning for season one, but there have been auditions now for season two, and those of us who auditioned are eagerly awaiting the cast list. We're all hanging around outside the director's office. Larissa, did you audition for season two?
Yes, I did. And I'm actually helping out, helping Kim and Tabs out with the auditions, organizing them, responding to emails, you know, doing all of the little, you know, lists and things to help the auditions go forth. And it's very exciting.
Now, without revealing anything too secret, because there are a few interesting, juicy little secrets out there that people would just die to find out, what are your thoughts about season two, Larissa?
I'm very excited. We had a lot of people audition, and a lot of different people, and it's listening to the auditions for season two and just interacting, sending emails back and forth to the auditioners, kind of hits upon something that I was thrilled to find out when I first started working on this. Before I started working on Buffy Between the Lines, I was an avid listener of podcasts. So I'd listen to The Signal and Firefly Old Wounds and Strangely Literal and Undead America and Upside Down Halfway to Happy Land, all these different, you know, Joss First podcasts. And you know, some of these podcasters that I listened to before working on Buffy Between the Lines, I'm now working with them, and it's boggles my mind, and I'm so, you know, excited to work with all of them, and it's coming up in season two again. It's just the connections that are being formed by these people that have heard our podcast and really love what we're doing and want to be a part of it, and they're people that I've listened to their podcast before, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, so, to go off of that with Larissa, there's a couple people that auditioned this season, and I can't tell you who they are, but there's a couple people where Kim and I were like, oh my gosh, they auditioned! Because we are such big fangirls of these particular people from the podcasting world that, yeah, there's little squeals of joy in our area of the world.
So let me go back to Rachel for a minute. Rachel, what are your thoughts on season two? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I'm really excited because I actually got to work on writing one of the full episodes or part of it. And I'm insane when it comes to writing fanfic and stuff. I have to like get my voice perfect, otherwise I go a little bit crazy. And I had written a mini episode before, and that actually was a weird experience because I wrote it in a day. It came to around Halloween time, and Tabs and Kim were like, we should have a Halloween mini episode. Rachel should write it. And I'm like, I'm going to kill you both. Like, I was writing it during my classes because I'm like, I gotta get this done. And now
trying to figure out how you can turn it in for credit, right?
Yeah. Seriously. And so I got that done, and it came out, and I'm like, whoa, this is really cool. And now that I'm working on a full episode, I'm like, this is really exciting because it's actually part of a plot line. I'm like, really? I can do this?
Excellent. Let's switch over just to Leanna for a minute here. Leanna, your thoughts on the next season?
I'm terribly excited, but I got to say I'm especially excited about Angel Between the Lines because I love Buffy, but Angel's got a little bit more of a bigger place in my heart. So, and to see some different characters, because there's some gorgeous, wonderful characters in Angel. So they, you know, of course, some of them got a chance to be part of Buffy, but to see them come more to the forefront will be fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to Angel Between the Lines. I'm still looking forward to Buffy, but I'm definitely looking forward to Angel.
Which seems like a good time to swing back to Tabs. Tabs, tell us, what does the future hold for Between the Lines Studios?
Oh, the future holds many things that make me very tired. yeah, so if you're hearing this on the day that it comes out, the cast list for season two should be possibly up. I'm not going to totally agree to it because, you know, things happen. But it should be up. And we are currently finishing writing season two of Buffy Between the Lines. And then we are plotting out Angel season one. So there's lots of things coming. One of the interesting things that has come out of all of this is Kim and I are participating in audio drama forums and discussions and groups. And we put our two cents in on how things are run and how things are done. And we get very strange reactions because we do a fan-based audio drama. So Kim and I have decided to do an original audio drama because people keep whining at us that you don't know how it is. You have all these Buffy fans and they love you and blah, 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 blah. So you don't know how it is to do a real audio drama. So the gauntlet has been thrown. Kim and I are going to do a real audio drama.
So this isn't Hamlet between the lines then?
No. And we're even thinking about doing it under fake names so people don't know who it is. Just so we can prove that we can do an audio drama and not whine about not having actors and scripts and all that stuff. So there's lots coming. And I think I'm driving Kim crazy with, oh, we could totally do this.
Well, just in the last couple of minutes here, because we don't want to go on forever here, but just in the last couple of minutes, I just want to go around the table and ask what your favorite part was of Episode 9. What did you enjoy the most, listening to, producing, acting, directing, or whatever it was you did or whatever it was you heard? What did you like most about Episode 9? We'll start with Rachel.
Oh, God. I absolutely love the whole part with Jenny. I was listening to this on a car trip, I was thinking, because I got the episode early, and I was bawling my eyes out about everything that was going on between Jenny and Giles and, like, trying to focus on the road. I'm like, oh, God, this is so touching. Oh, God, I'm going over the line.
It'd be a tough one to explain if you woke up in eternity. Yes, I was listening to an audio drama I was part of, and I drove into oncoming traffic.
I was crying so much.
Larissa, how about you? What'd you enjoy the most?
I have to say, there's one moment towards the end when, you know, they're working on the spell to release the Dybbuk from Anya. And Andrew has a line, something about, oh, I know this one. And he starts singing Matchmaker, Matchmaker from Fiddler on the Roof. And I burst out laughing, partially because I love Andrew as a character, but I just, you know, I'm also a musical freak. And to have Andrew quoting a musical theater piece just out of the blue, and, you know, and I love Jason's delivery on that line, it was just perfect. Just perfect.
Liana?
Well, doing, of course, the accent, whether it was good or bad, that was, like I said, very entertaining. Listening, I really like, and this isn't just this one, but most of them, I kind of call it the chaos of, it's really what sticks in my mind about the series, is when you have so many people in the room and all these little quick lines and people picking on each other and the action going on, and that is my favorite part at the end where the zombies are coming and Spike is punching and you've got Jonathan trying to read, the Dubuque is all flipping out, and, you know, Jenny, the whole chaos, it's such a Buffy thing. It's perfect for the original series. And I love hearing all the different things going, and you almost miss things in some cases because some of them are quick and some of them are not. And of course, like everybody, I'm in love with the Buffy bot. She's adorable. And I'm a big fan of Fiddler on the Roof, so I was highly entertained by that also.
And Tabs, of course, you've probably lived with this longer than any of us. What was your favorite part?
There's a couple. I loved working with Allie Renee from Undead America. She is awesome and amazing, and I'm sad she couldn't make it to the commentary. And her ideas were just so fresh. She got the idea of the Dubuque from a play, and I don't have the title for it, but I'll put it in the show notes. And when she first told me the story, I was like, oh, that's perfect. Because, you know, you get tired of the, okay, we can't do a witch, we can't do a zombie, we can't do a, you know, it's like, okay, what kind of evil can the Hellmouth bring? And so what's something different? And this was really different. I like the Hebrew element of the story, and but it was fun. This one was really fun to do the music behind it, because usually I just send it to Austin and then he sends me the music. And but we were both online at the same time, so we were emailing back and forth while he was making the music for it. And his reactions to stuff was hilarious. His favorite line was let's see, what did he like? He loved Dawn doing ballet. He thought that was great. And he loved Spike picking up on the helping the helpless line that Buffy Bot does and calling it lame. That was, he loved that little reference, inside reference to Angel. And it was just a really fun thing to do with him and to see his creative processes go. I love the music that he put behind the ballet scene. I love the music that he put behind when I first get possessed by the demon. It was really kind of creepy, and it really worked well with the dialogue. And I don't know, the whole putting it together, seeing it finally done and uploaded, and then hearing what the fans think, that's really my favorite part.
Excellent. Well, this is, I think, probably a good place to stop. This is the Buffy Between the Lines commentary episode 009. The guests on this episode, of course, Tabs, the executive producer and actor and director and, you know, all-around go-getter for the team, and Leanna, Larissa, and, of course, Rachel, and I'm Kevin Cummings. We invite you to continue listening and can't wait to get started on season two. Goodbye.
Having a bad day? Job getting you down? Are you looking for something to pick you up, give you a laugh all at the same time? Then, oh brother, do I have the show for you. I am Brad Boyer, and join me each week on the Geek Spin as I scour the net to bring you the best in comedy music. Check us out, www.thegeekspin.com.